Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass. Today is July 7th, 2015. We are in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a beautiful summer day here.
And hot.
It's not too bad today. And that was Mary Jo. Joining me in the studio is Mary Jo Bowser. And Lee, how are you, Lee?
I am doing great.
Good, good. Mary Jo, I know you just got back from an extended trip with family. How'd it go?
It was really great. It was really great.
With your in-laws?
No, with my siblings
and
their families and my daughter, and it was really fun.
Good, good.
But luckily, I have a good job to come back to, so it wasn't that bad coming back.
You do know how to suck up.
Sam! I said it wasn't that bad. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're back, and glad that we were able to celebrate this 4th of July weekend. And joining us today in the studio, we have a special guest, Dr. Alan Wong. He is the Chief Executive Officer of SLUD, the Art of Recovery. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I got the name correct, didn't I?
Perfect.
Took me five times, but that's okay. I got it. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh, no problem. We know that it's difficult for your schedule to spring free, and we certainly feel honored that you were able to join us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
As we always do, Dr. Wong, we want to begin by you telling us a little bit of your background. Give our listening audience some information that they can kind of relate to, where you're from, schooling, how'd you get with SLUD?
Family.
Well, I'll start. You know, I am from Kentucky originally, was born in Lexington, Kentucky.
That's where I just came from, Wong.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I lived in Lexington, was born there, went to college there, so I bleed blue and a big Kentucky basketball fan.
Go Cats!
But went to high school and went to college there. I did my medical school training at Emory here in Atlanta, and did a three-year residency in internal medicine at University of Texas Southwestern at Parkland Hospital. A lot of people remember that's where JFK was brought after he was shot. And then I moved back to Atlanta in 1999 for an opportunity to start a hospitalist program here at Emory. And so I was with Emory for about 15 years, where I started three hospital medicine programs from the ground up, and also was eventually their division director. So we're the largest academic division for hospital medicine in the country, with 120 physicians that I oversaw, and was also chief medical officer at Emory Johns Creek Hospital, just a short hop, skip, and jump away from where we are now in Suwannee at SLUD. And, you know, a hospitalist is a physician that takes care of patients while they're hospitalized. But over the last year and a half or so, I was given an opportunity to become the CEO and medical director of a new company, post-acute care company called SLUD. And believe it or not, SLUD means health in Spanish, just like Ujiria, I guess, with somewhat in Greek.
Very
terminology.
Good. Someone do some background check for you. Very good.
So we opened our doors at SLUD July 10th. So almost exactly 1 year ago, we opened our doors. We're located in Suwannee, Georgia, and we deal with transitional care and physical recovery. So patients, generally speaking, about 90-95% come from hospitals, and where they need more time to kind of recover and receive transitional care. And 98% of our patients do go home or back to assisted living. The average stay in our facility is about three and a half weeks or so. Our average age so far has been about 79, so we do deal with an older population, a Medicare population. And you know, we've had very good success with patient satisfaction as well. We've ranked 92% to 100% in the composite areas, which would put us very high at the level of ranking there.
That is wonderful. That's great.
Well, boy, there's a lot of common ground here. First of all, she, Mary Jo, is from Kentucky.
I did not know that.
I live next door and was born and reared in West Virginia.
Wow.
And so I know the Lexington area very well. And I live in Suwannee, so it, and about 2 miles from Emory Johns Creek. So we like a lot of common territory.
A lot of crossover.
Yeah, yeah. A couple things come to mind. You mentioned the hospitalist, and you gave a brief description, but I would like for you to touch on that. That is going to be to the population, maybe not to you and I, but to the population, kind of a new concept from what we are used to or were used to 10, 15 years ago. Before we go venture over to SLU, just tell us a little bit about what that means and how it is beneficial to the patient.
Sure. You know, I'm a senior fellow in hospital medicine. There's only several hundred of us in the country here. So, but hospital medicine was coined in 1996, and really it represents a lot that has gone on with healthcare. It used to be that your primary care physician would see you in the hospital, would see in the clinic, and may even come to your house to see you. This was many moons ago.
Well, I can remember that, but that's a whole different story, right,
that,
Lee?
That tells you something.
Go ahead.
And in the 90s, you know, as healthcare reform kind of started and started to kick off further, there was this kind of unbridging of inpatient medicine, hospital medicine, and kind of office practice medicine, internal medicine. And because of the dynamics that were happening, a lot of the office practitioners gave up a lot of hospital privileges and to go in because they had to be busier in the office to generate income, to be able to develop the service that they wanted and the outcomes they wanted.
Real important. That's a key. Yeah. This was done because of the changes and at least for in reimbursement policies, whether it be from private care or medical or Medicare. Correct.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
The other parts of the formula are that the density of cities, it's gotten much more dense in the U.S. You can compare to 30, 40 years ago. Atlanta was a lot different. So for a physician to have to go to his or her office and go to four hospitals and round.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. 30 years ago, you could do that. Today, I had to bring a sack lunch and plan a journey from Suwannee to here.
And then you're not in your office.
And you're not in your office.
To take care of patients.
And then the other part of it was simply just because there was a big transformation in hospital care. A lot more was seen, a lot more pressure was put on the hospitals to perform correctly and to develop protocols and give quality care. And because of that, physicians that kind of came in and out of the hospital as merchants, so to speak, didn't know the hospitals as well. So a lot of inpatient specialties developed, and hospital medicine is one of those.
Okay.
Because you work all your time, 100% of your time in the hospital, you know about the protocols, you know of the needs, you know of the quality pathways and safety profiles and so forth that are very, very important. All of that was a formula for why hospital medicine was born in the 90s. And honestly, today, if you're a hospital and you don't have a hospitalist program, you're actually behind the times. So it's really changed. And as a segue to Salud, we've brought that over. You know, I've developed, through my 15 or 16 years of training, I've brought a hospitalist model to post-acute care, to a recovery and transitional care facility that's really probably not been seen before.
Okay, now you might really kick me under the table for this, Dr. Wong, but this is a real question. Isn't there a bit of a disconnect, though, as far as a quarterback, somebody calling the shots for the individuals? Is that the job of a hospitalist too, to oversee that, like somebody to follow them from the hospital to the rehab? Or, you know, what happens when you get out of the hospital? Do they go back to their primary care position? What
well,
happens there?
Those questions you're answering are really good ones. And you know as well in the home health care industry and post-acute care, that's why I chose to kind of come to post-acute care. We've done a lot to get the formula right in the hospitals, but we really are still working on the transitions of care. And, you know, if we had magic wands here, we'd have the answer to your questions, Mary Jo, and unfortunately we don't. A lot of the healthcare reform going on now is trying to cover that, to look at the bundling of payments or for episodes of care and for outcomes of care that span the continuum. So before you go into hospital, while you're in the hospital, when you go to post-acute care, when you go to home with home health care. So those questions are being hopefully answered in the decades to come here.
And it's if you understand, as you say, the reform in healthcare, I think it's pretty well accepted that more and more services are now delivered on an outpatient basis versus inpatient. And therefore, the natural progression would be for recovery institutions or facilities such as Salud to become part of that reform.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's this model that we have is the first of a kind, you know, really in the state of Georgia. Very few of these around the country that exist. And a lot of this is going to be part of a solution here to a different model of care that bridges a patient when they leave a hospital or may need less an acute setting, but they need something prior to going home. As I said, 98% of our patients do go home. We've got a very low rehospitalization rate that runs about 12% right now. That's very low compared with other post-acute care settings. But the fact that 98% of our patients go home or to assisted living makes it very useful. And the way I talk about this is many years ago when a lot of skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes were developed, they really were looking at something very different 40 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Medical technology was in its early stages. People lived to a certain level and then just died at an earlier age than we have today. Today, people are living longer, healthier lives into their 70s, 80s. I mean, the Rolling Stones were here a few weeks ago, and they're in their 70s and still, you know, doing a great job. Now, if Mick Jagger were to fall off the stage, which he probably has, but and broken several bones, would he have gone to a typical SNF or nursing home to recover? The answer is probably not. He probably would have gone home with home health care, which is terrific. But another option it would be a Salud type of facility where they could go in for a couple of weeks and to kind of recover. And we're seeing that's a more viable option for folks that want to get back to independent living and to be independent. There is an absolute role for long-term care and nursing homes, but where Salud bridges is kind of that in-between gap that's grown and grown and grown as medical technology has allowed us to live longer and healthier lives.
Let's clarify, if we can, and if I have the right understanding. You mentioned the term SNF, which is skilled nursing facility. A facility of that nature basically is going to try to maintain the health level, the quality of life, however we're going to describe that, where your facility is about rehabilitating to become back into society as, you might say, a productive individual. Is that a reasonable statement?
That's right. That's why we call it transitional care and physical recovery. Again, 98% of our patients that come within 3.5 weeks on average, they're back to what they were doing, independent, or maybe it's assisted living. So it's a product that, again, is very unique here in Georgia and still unique around the United States. But you're going to see more of these facilities, I think, develop.
How is it unique in Georgia? Why is Salud unique?
There are no other facilities that I'm aware of that offer 100% transitional care and physical recovery and short-term rehab recovery like what we're doing. We also have all private rooms in our facility. It's a new build with a lot of technology. Patients have the opportunity to have iPads, for example, when they come in. There are 64 private rooms. We have 47,000 square feet and 14 acres. When the patient comes in, they're subjected to an environment that looks at the holistic care model, and they feel that they're almost like in a hotel-type setting. With a lot of amenities. Each room is 330 square feet. They have nurse call buttons there. They have 24/7 nursing. We have 7-day-a-week rehab, so physical therapy and occupational therapy, which is very, very unique. We do have 24/7 grab-and-go and chef-prepared meals. And, again, I think we call our clients patients because it's more of that type of an atmosphere. They're not residents and not there to stay long-term. Right. But they do feel that it's like a hotel-like atmosphere. They do feel that they're getting the right clinical model, the right therapy, and so forth. And again, what we've melded is there's also 7-day-a-week coverage, basically, by nurse practitioners, almost 7-day-a-week coverage. And so it allows the patient to really come in, recover very quickly, and get back to their normal lifestyle again.
Okay, now there are several the rehabs in Atlanta, and typically one floor is dedicated to skilled nursing only, or the people who aren't getting better. So that's not part of your program. You don't have a...
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we do not offer long-term care. So okay. That we're very forward when we talk to our clients and to hospitals about this. Everybody that comes to our facility is their short-term, again, 3.5 weeks on average, 23, 24 days is our average.
But that 98%, though, is a great testimony to the success of it.
Give our listening audience, if you can, a visual picture of the individual that would be good, a good patient for Salud.
Absolutely. You know, I think our typical patient has not really stayed in nursing homes previously, definitely not for long-term care, and is able to participate in aggressive therapy 7 days a week, up to 3 hours a day, which is pretty aggressive, with physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy, and on average can leave our facility in probably 3.5 weeks. And average age has been 79 years old, as I've talked about as well. Again, right now we see a lot of patients coming from post-surgical procedures like orthopedics. We also see a lot of patients that come background of neurological recovery from strokes, chronic conditions of neurology that have acute exacerbations such as multiple sclerosis. We have a lot of cardiac patients that are recovering from heart attacks, open heart surgery, congestive heart failure, valve replacement, and pulmonary patients that may have COPD exacerbations, emphysema, pneumonia, etc. All of those categories probably comprise about 80% of our clients.
So it's not just for older people. I mean, somebody, you know, younger. Can have stroke, cardiac problems, and orthopedic surgery.
Orthopedic would be a principal. Yeah. Yeah.
We had a patient that fell and had multiple trauma, broke both legs, one arm, C2, L2 in the spine, ruptured the bladder, had a pelvic fracture.
Oh, my gosh.
She was 21 years old and was at our facility for 2.5 months. But she walked out of the facility and did very well.
And that, in order to stay, you just have to show a continuum of recovery or something, right?
That's right. As long as you're making progress at our facility and with your, you know, we have had patients stay a long time, like I've talked about in this patient's situation, 2.5 months. But at the end of the day, our goal is that 98% of our patients there are able to return to independence through an extended stay. That's okay as well.
Okay, I have another hard question for you, Dr. Wong. This is, you know, what you described is pretty different than what I see in other places that I call on, rehab facilities. Is it more expensive?
No. The answer is your insurance pays for it. So we're Medicare for... A lot of those in the listening audience are probably Medicare beneficiaries, and that makes up a large majority of our patients Medicare. So if you've got Medicare A benefit, then that works. We are currently also online with Humana and WellCare. We are continuing to negotiate with the other managed care providers. Being a new facility, we have to go through those negotiations, as you know, and to come online with them. But we expect to be online with all managed care payers in the next 12 months or so.
Great.
Now, is the Salud affiliated with a national organization? Is it unique to SWANE? Or how does that structure?
I'm glad you asked that, because I thought that it was was it a Golden Living facility at first?
Well, here's what we are operated right now by Golden Living, but we have the same ownership.
Okay.
And however, we will be spinning off into our own company over the next couple of years as we grow. This is the prototype, and we've built it in Swanee, Georgia here. We are also looking at expansion. There are a few other facilities we're planning across the country right now as we speak. And so we hope that this will continue to grow. But the first Salud facility is in Georgia, in the Atlanta area, in Swanee.
Let me ask you another question. Do you do any outpatient rehab, or is it only inpatient?
Great question. We do have outpatient rehab, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. So we do have PT and OT there, and we do have patients that come in that are likely in the area for outpatient
so
treatment.
So do you just need a doctor's order for that kind
just
of thing?
Just need a doctor's order.
Very good.
Dr. Wong, it especially when I, who have some understanding of acute medicine and view Golden Living and Salud, they are two entirely different animals.
Right.
There's no question.
Yeah.
I understand, I can get my mind around why a Golden Living is expanding or willing to venture out into this avenue. But what is it that you see coming in acute medicine that's going to facilitate and support numbers of Saluds around the country?
Sure, that's a great question. I think Salud is only one of many models of new care that we're going to see. Having worked my entire career in a hospital up until the last year or so, you can see that there's going to be an opportunity here. Right now, the structure for reimbursement for medicine allows for a few different settings, several different settings. I think that as we get to more of an outcome-based reimbursement model, as we get to more population...
aging.
Yeah, population aging, yeah. And population health kind of management of chronic disease processes, it's going to open the gate to see how we're reimbursed. And I think that those opportunities are going to continue to grow as the reform kind of continues down the line here.
I'm sorry. Let's be careful. And when you say that, then my mind immediately goes to the dollar sign.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not. There are much better outcomes or well-documented studies that indicate there's much higher and better outcomes outside of an acute hospital environment, correct?
When you say that, you mean like it with home health care or at SNP, at skilled nursing facilities?
I guess that was too broad of a statement. I apologize. In my mind, individuals,
with the goal of being home?
Yeah, in my mind, individuals who are in a state of recovery can and do want to get better. Usually the outcomes is better outside of the acute setting.
Outside of the hospital.
I said the hospital setting is what I'm going to say.
With the goal of going home, rehab to skilled nursing, home care.
Prime example, you had heart surgery and they tell you, this is the worst place for you to be. Get out of here. You're going to recover better.
Yeah, I think right now the models of care we have with acute care hospitals, if you're acutely ill, you've got to be there. There's no other substitute. But I think as you get over your acute illness, there are other settings. And those settings, I think, will continue to grow before they consolidate a little bit. So I think You're right in that.
Well,
regard.
and you phrased it much better than I did.
Yeah. Now, doctor, it's not an accident that you call your facility the Art of Recovery, right? That was language that was chosen specifically for this niche that you're trying to serve.
Right. We have tried to, you know, let the population, our patients, know we're really about transitional care and also recovery.
And you're trying to be best in class in this area to give them exactly what they need to get back on their feet as quickly as possible so they can go back out and be that thriving individual that they were prior to their, whatever their ailment was.
That's right. That's right.
And that's a different niche that historically has existed, right?
You're absolutely correct. There are acute rehab facilities or inpatient rehab facilities, but typically, based on those facilities, there's a limited amount of time that you can spend there, and it's usually just a couple of weeks, a few weeks, maybe a little bit longer at times. But there's also a very narrow categorization of diagnoses that you can get in those facilities with. And, you know, with Salud, you have the opportunity where we can work with probably a broader scope of patients, and they could potentially stay there longer as well.
But also to get a better outcome than they would have previously, because you're focused in on their wellness 24/7 just for that niche of patients.
Yeah, our data is pretty impressive in its first year. As I told you, we've got 98% of patients going home. We've got a length of stay for our managed care patients that's about 13 days. We've got about a 24-day length of stay for our Medicare patients. What's really impressive is if you look at our rehabilitation outcome measures, we are gaining about 20% more. So the patients coming in, they look at where their rehab level is compared to when they go home. When they go home, the level's 20% more compared with other area inpatient facilities that we're benchmarking, but they do it in 20% less time. So it's kind of a 20-20 rule.
That is great.
Yeah. So those are some numbers. And being a facility kind of first of its kind, it's difficult for us to say we're the best in class because we're probably the only in class, but these numbers are pretty impressive.
You can say it. You can say that.
You know what?
The proof is in the pudding. I mean, that's the proof. It is what it is. So, I mean, the results speak for themselves.
I think a lot of times patients, especially older patients, don't understand that they have choices. Again, there's a gap there. Either they're just told to go somewhere, or at the other end of the spectrum, they're given this list.
Yes.
So they can choose, right? A referral is an important thing coming out of a hospital. But whether you're referred or not, can they choose to come to you no matter what hospital they've been in?
Absolutely. They can do a couple things. You know, one is we do have a lot of patients that are post-surgical, so they can actually pre-register with us. And there's some qualifying items there, but as long as they can meet the qualifying items and their insurance and so forth, they can pre-register and we can hold a bed for them. The other part is that a lot of these patients are coming from hospitals, and patients know this already, but they have choice. They have choice in the different post-acute care facilities they select, and the hospital has to, you know, honor those requests. So frequently they're given, you know, recommendations, but they can kind of look at different options. And again, for a certain population here, I think we would serve a patient well, but not we're not able to serve all the different populations, if you will, if you can kind of hear from our description of the patients that would do well.
As I told you off the air, I've been in the facility at least a handful of times, five times at least. Just the visual, it is very, very nice. And as you described, kind of a hotel spa environment. And it truly is. It is amazing. And that alone, in my mind, just the psychological effect of that is so positive for the well-being, the outcome of the patient. I think it's great.
Yes, our owners, you know, got a designer, the people that did the architecture for the building, designed a Four Seasons hotel. And our owners also own many hotels around the country. So the idea is you have an environment with a lot of amenity, a lot of good service standards, similar to what you'd find in first-rate hotels, and couple that with, you know, a medical model, a clinical model like we've talked about, that that really makes sense. One other aspect I forgot to mention is that once a patient is discharged home, we have nurse practitioners also that are able to follow the patient home. So let's say they do go home with home health care, they can then have the opportunity to also have a nurse practitioner to kind of continue to follow them.
You mean a salute nurse practitioner?
That's right. That's right.
In addition to home health.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. To kind of help bridge that gap
that's
before
great.
They get back with their primary care physician or their specialist.
Mm-hmm.
That's good information. I'd love to develop this idea of the model more. Obviously, time is short today. But it's a concept in my mind that is going to grow simply because of where we as a nation are moving the areas of treatment. It's very simple. And if nothing else, I know, I'll say this, the outcomes are better, but dollars are going to drive it that way because it's more cost effective. We'd love to have you back. I know it's tough, and I appreciate that. But down the road, if there's something that is warranted, that's unique, that you think that would be good to get out to the listening audience, we'd love to invite you or part of your staff back. We certainly appreciate it.
Maybe with a patient, somebody who's successfully gone through there. That would be fascinating to hear what their, before and after.
And we, maybe you could hand that off to one of your counterparts, but that'd be a great, we'd do that in a heartbeat.
I was going to say, I have a shout out for your staff, Angie, Giselle, Jenny Brown in admissions, Sharon, they do a great job. They're welcoming, they're open. They know the importance of working well with other businesses who serve the senior population, and they're just great. Now, in order for them to hear that, they have to listen to this whole show.
And you got to let them do it while they're there.
Absolutely.
As we end, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to bring to light, or what should people do if, as you said, they're planning a surgery and they're saying, well, this might be for me?
Sure. I would just close by saying, I traded in 15 years working with Emory for this opportunity, and it is very unique. And the facility itself, as you all have seen, is very unique and really a one of a kind. So we encourage, your listening audience just to come in and tour. They can go to our website, salude.com, salude.com. And also I'll give you a phone number to call to schedule. It's 770-904-3222. That's 770-904-3222. And make a tour. They can schedule a tour and come just see it. And if it's not for them, I'm sure they'll have a family member or loved one that it may be for. And we would love to have them tour.
That's great. Is that 770 number, is that the same as someone would call for an admissions process?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's our main number at Salute.
Dr. Wong, we thank you
so much.
Please come back if your schedule will allow. We'd love to have you at some point.
I'd love to come back. Thank you for the invite.
Okay. Once again, if you will, give the listening audience the web address.
Sure. And I'll give you my email too. But the website is www.salude.com. And my email is Alan, that's A-L-A-N dot W-A-N-G at Salude, S-A-L-U-D-E dot com. And would love to hear from your listeners out there and hopefully get them to come and tour as well.
Once again, we thank you. Good information.
Thank
Good
you.
Show.
Thank you.
We want to thank the listening audience for joining us today and remind them that they always can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at ugeriaradio.com. And as we close, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.